You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, there was lots of personal interest in this budget from the fact that there were no tax increases. Personally, we saw movement on annuitization for Provident Funds and Regulation 28 as well. To bring it all together, let's welcome Ronald King, Head of Public Policy and Regulatory Affairs at PSG Consult. Ronald, welcome. We've been talking about lots of these things over the last few weeks. What stood out for you firstly?
Well, one of the interesting things is, as we've discussed in the past few weeks, the whole immigration situation with regards to retirement funds, you will now be able to get your money after you've been out of the country for 3 years, non-resident. You don't have to go through a formal immigration process anymore. However, a very interesting thing here in Annex C, one of the documents that's attached to the budget speech, if you now become non-resident, you will immediately be deemed to have withdrawn all your money from your retirement annuity. So the moment that you become non-resident, even if you take the money or not, there will now be a withdrawal tax calculated on your retirement fund. It will be a credit on the on your investment account. And the moment that you then finally draw the money, be it 2 years or 5 or 10 years later, then you will have to pay that tax plus interest.
Why do you think that was introduced?
The main reason for that, according to the documentation, is that SARS says that if you become non-resident, it means that the double taxation agreements kick into place and you are then liable for taxes in your new country of residence, which means that the South African government cannot tax your retirement annuity anymore. So to prevent them from losing the tax on those retirement annuities, they now have this deeming provision that the day before you become a non-resident, you will now have to pay this deemed tax on your retirement fund.
Which sounds fair and reasonable.
It does, but it also creates a lot of problems because it's clear that they are trying to build in provisions for what happens if you leave the money in South Africa and only draw that money at your eventual retirement. And we will have to see exactly how the rules work to try and cover all of these eventualities going forward.
Yeah, we don't have that detail quite yet. Well, we also saw that the annuitization for Provident Funds will take effect as we expected. And Provident Fund members are going to continue to enjoy a tax deduction on their contributions. But interestingly for me was Regulation 28 and the fact that Treasury is going to this week publish draft amendments to Regulation 28 to make it easier for retirement funds to increase investments in infrastructure. What do you make of that?
And it was actually something that we spoke about as well. As you can remember, that the situation was that infrastructure as an investment vehicle has been very difficult for your retirement funds to invest in due to the fact that most of our funds have moved over from defined benefit to defined contribution funds. And the requirement from the industry was, if you want us to invest in these infrastructure products, you will need to change the law, you will need to change the rules. And there's been discussions over the past 6 to 8 months on how this should look. So, and this comes to as no surprise to the industry, and we've actually been waiting for this for a while to see exactly how they're changing the rules for us to be able to invest in infrastructure products.
Well, that's the important bit here. We don't quite know exactly how these proposed amendments are going to make it easier for retirement funds to increase their investments in infrastructure. It doesn't sound at all like it will be a prescriptive amendment, though. From the wording, sounds like it's going to leave the discretion in the hands of the fund and its advisors and asset managers.
I think that is definitely going to be the case. I mean, it's one of the big investments that Minister Tito Mboweni also announced in the budget, the significant amount that will be invested into the infrastructure of South Africa. And if that is invested from the government side, it makes some of these investments really lucrative. They've also spoke about the fact that most of our developments in future will be pay by users. So there's going to be the toll fee incomes and everything from infrastructure in the future. that could possibly create a very nice income stream for retirement funds.
And he stressed repeatedly during the speech, it's about a user pays principle and paying for cost reflective tariffs. And I think that was certainly in line with what we've seen around Eskom, looking for what he calls cost-reflective prices for electricity. I just hope that doesn't mask inefficiencies. And when we say cost-reflective, that cost can't be the cost of a bloated salary bill inside an inefficient SOE, surely.
That is always the problem. I think the wording that was used today in the budget has been spot on. Unfortunately, one of the big problems that we currently have in this country is when it comes to implementation of good plans, they are normally stuffed up in a very good manner as well.
Yeah, that is the problem as well. Implementation has been where things have fallen down effectively. Was there anything that was left out that you would have liked to have seen included from this particular budget?
There's a definite focus, and then you have been talking to Judge Davis about it, a very strong focus on the rich. But if we look at the South African tax base, we only have about 7 million taxpayers out of a 60 million population. That's 11% of the population that's actually paying tax. And then if you take their own numbers further, you've only got 270,000 taxpayers who earns more than R1 million in taxable income, and they make up 38% of all tax. So while I understand that tax evasion and all of those things should be looked at, I'm questioning whether enough is done to really broaden the tax base in South Africa. The 27% reduction might be one of the first steps to increase the corporate tax base, but I'm just questioning whether our current tax base is in any means sustainable for the future of this country.
Yeah, and tax morality, back to the conversation I was having with Judge Dennis Davis, has a big part to play in all of this as well. And the fact that we've seen this breakdown in the contract between the taxpayer and the state. And we'll continue to see legal tax measures put in place to limit what you're paying within the bounds of the law in an environment where there's very little incentive to hand over any more than you're legally obliged to a government that has shown to be a very poor custodian of public funds. They've flitted away, they've pilfered in large amounts, even through the COVID crisis, where we couldn't see the honeypot of public funds not attract a hive of corrupt activity. And that is the bottom line here. Ronald, when we look at things like wealth taxes, though, there were no new wealth taxes. There was speculation that we might see a once-off COVID solidarity tax or something to that effect. Surely that has got to be good news. The fact that on a tax revenue raising side of the budget and to balance the books, we can't rely on tax increases anymore. We've actually got to focus on expenditure.
There's a very interesting note that is also in the revenue trends and tax proposals document, in where the SARS actually refers to a research done by Kemp in 2020, Southern Africa Towards Inclusive Economic Development. And there it shows that tax increases have a larger negative effect on growth than spending reductions. And these effects are even more pronounced during a downturn like we have now during the COVID pandemic. So at least it was clear that the National Treasury realized this and realized that at this stage, increasing taxes will be the worst of the two evils. Rather, focus on reducing expenditure than increasing those taxes. And yes, unfortunately, the wealth taxes makes up 14% of total income of South Africa. So there will always be this significant focus on the wealthy in South Africa.
Ronald King, Head of Public Policy and Regulatory Affairs at PSG Consult.